Around 1 in 6 people in the UK has some kind of hearing loss, including most people over 70, and the number is rising. Professor Karen Steele, now at King's College London, but formerly at the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute, is an expert in hearing loss in old age and has played a major role in tracking down some of the genes involved. I spoke to her about how far she and her team have come and how they're trying to use this knowledge to help people at risk of losing their hearing.
We've identified a large number of genes, well over 100 genes, that are involved in deafness, either in humans or in animal models, and we use the mouse mainly as our animal model. We know a lot of these genes are very different sorts of genes. They vary from genes called transcription factors, which control the activity of other genes, or they could be structural proteins. They could encode structural proteins. There's a whole variety of them. When I started working on the genetics of deafness, I thought that all genes involved in deafness were going to turn out to be ion channel genes. But of course, it wasn't. The first one that we identified was a gene called myosin 7A, which is an unconventional myosin molecule.
That's a kind of a muscly sort of protein.
That's exactly what you would think. But there's lots of other myosins in the body that perform other functions other than muscular contraction. And this was one of them. And this one was very important for both hearing and for vision, as it turned out. And it turned out to be involved in a human disease called Usher syndrome, where children are born deaf and with a balance problem, and then in the first 10 years or so of life they start to develop visual problems as well until they lose their vision. So it's a very nasty disease for the children to have, and identifying several of the genes involved in that has been a very useful start to thinking about how it could be treated.
So we have genes that are involved in hereditary deafness and hearing problems. And then there's presumably genetic variations between us as humans that mean maybe some people will lose their hearing earlier as they get older or struggle with different aspects. Do we know if it's the same kind of genes involved or different sort of genes involved in different types of hearing problems?
Yeah, that's a good question. When you talk about hereditary deafness, I think most people are thinking about individual families where some children are born with a hearing impairment and others are born without a hearing impairment. And that is very clearly a genetic, and usually a single gene that's affected, that's causing that pattern of inheritance. But actually, genes do a lot more. As you say, there are lots of genes out there that vary from individual to individual. And some of those genes can make us more or less likely to have damage to our hearing as a result of environmental problems. And some of them are important for the maintenance, the long-term maintenance of the hearing structure in the ear. And so as we get older, then it may well be that just a single gene can make us more likely to lose our hearing. So there's lots of different causes. At the moment, we know quite a lot of genes, over 100 in humans alone, that are involved in childhood deafness. But we know very, very little about the genetic basis of hearing impairment as we get older. And that's one of the main things that I moved here to King's College to study, because it's a basic neuroscience question, is why is hearing gradually deteriorating as we get older? Is it a general part of growing old, or is it something that's very specific to the auditory system? And I think all the evidence is pointing to it being very specific.
Not just because everything's falling apart.
Exactly, yes, yes. So there's lots of people who are very old who have perfect hearing, and other people who are relatively young who have very poor hearing. So it's not just a general aspect of growing older. There are specific factors that make our hearing progressively get worse as we get older at different rates from individual to individual.
So how are you trying to get the answers to this question?
I'm a geneticist, basically, so I'm always thinking about how we can use genetics as a tool to get an understanding of the molecular basis of hearing and progressive deafness, particularly progressive deafness. Because I think with progressive deafness, then we have a much greater chance of being able to develop treatments. So progressive hearing impairment is the main thing that I'm interested in. And the technique I use is to look for single genes that, when they're mutated or changed, will lead to a progressive hearing loss. I use the mouse as my main model system because there are many mouse models now, or mouse mutants, where they have a particular mutation in a particular gene that we've been able to show have progressive loss of their hearing. And so we think mimic the human progressive hearing loss.
How do you tell if a mouse is losing its hearing?
We use a physiological measurement called auditory brainstem response measurements, or ABR. This is exactly the same technique that many hospitals use to screen newborn babies for deafness when they're born. So it's a non-invasive technique, and it's a very powerful technique to carry out at different ages so that you can follow that progression of the hearing impairment in a mouse as it gets worse and worse. We can distinguish lots of different aspects of the response, including whether you need to deliver a higher level of sound in order to elicit a response, and also whether different frequencies, so high frequencies or low frequencies, are responding at the right sort of threshold. This is quite important for humans, because humans, as they get older, have a tendency to lose their sensitivity to high frequencies first. That's the earliest sign of progressive hearing loss. And we found a number of different mouse mutants with single gene mutations that did have progressive hearing loss starting at the high frequencies. So we think that these particular mouse mutants are going to be very useful to us in providing models for the normal natural history of progressive hearing loss in humans.
So where would you like to see this research going, maybe over the next 5 to 10 years, given the pace at which everything's accelerating in science and technology?
Well, we have some very good clues now. We have a number of different genes that we've identified as being involved in progressive hearing loss. Now we're in a position where we can start thinking about what molecular pathways those genes are involved in, and whether those are pathways that we can manipulate, particularly using small molecules, so the traditional drug approach. This is an approach that really hasn't been very seriously adopted in hearing. Most people think of hearing being treated by using hearing aids or perhaps cochlear implants if it's a very severe hearing impairment. But those are prosthetic devices. Those aren't treating the hearing, because the person still has the hearing impairment. Whereas we think that we should be able to develop some drugs or small molecules that will stop the progression of hearing impairment. But this is a long time off. We think in the next few years, next 2 or 3 years, we should have some animal model work that will give us a proof of principle of using small molecules to stop the progression of hearing impairment. But developing that to get into the clinic is going to take a lot longer, as I'm sure you hear from many different diseases. It's always a long process to get the initial concept of using a small molecule to treat a disease from an animal model into the clinic. So deafness is no different from that.
That was Professor Karen Steele from King's College London.